Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 40. Wow, we didn't even talk about the milestone on April 8th.
We've hit our gold anniversary, folks. This is Pirate here speaking. And
I think your 10 number's still shallow, dude.
Is it?
Gold is 50.
All right, well, we're getting close to the gold.
You know what we didn't talk about, though? The 25 is silver.
We were silver at one point.
Yeah, we need to, you know, so with a 50, we'll definitely make it.
Right now, we're at the pots and pan time of our podcast. So just send us a gift of pots and pans. We'll be happy.
Yeah, well, if you didn't know what that song was, I'm sure some of you probably did. That was the opening to Jurassic Park, and the reason why I chose that as an opening song is I filled in Pirate earlier because, you know, he's a hardworking man, can't be on the internets like a lot of people. Well, some crazy scientist in North America revived the dire wolf. And Pirate can see this picture here, and I'm going to put these links in our show notes so you can get some of this stuff. But a lot of this I just read verbatim a little bit. I scan over it, and then we opine, right?
What a fluffy looking thing there, man.
But here we go. Texas biotechnology company has announced the world's first animal de-extinction. Colossal Biosciences announced in a press release on Monday the rebirth of a once extinct direwolf, which claims is the world's successful de-extinct animal. The direwolf was featured in Game of Thrones, of course, as the big old wolf, but, you know, that was a fictional show. The company has been working since 2021 on the resurrection of the mammoth, dodo, and Tasmanian tiger. So we got more to come. The massive milestone is the first of many coming examples demonstrating that our end-to-end de-extinct technology stack works, says Ben Lamb of Colossal, co-founder and CEO. Our team took DNA from a 13,000-year-old tooth and a 72,000-year-old skull and made healthy direwolf puppies. The three direwolves are housed in a 2,000-acre site at a secret location secured by 10-foot-tall zoo-grade fencing and monitored around the clock by security staff, drones, and live cameras. So,
I got a question.
What do you think, man?
So who is funding these people? First of all, I'm looking at 2,000-acre facility.
Uh-huh.
They're doing research on dodos. They're trying to bring dodo. Isn't that Fred Flintstone type birds?
It's an extinct bird from about 150 years ago.
Yeah. And then
more recent,
you know, the woolly mammoth. We talked about that last year. Remember?
Yeah. Well, the other thing they mentioned in there, the Tasmanian tiger has been gone for about 100 years.
Oh my God. That's like the Tasmanian devil.
Well, no, it's just a cat that roamed Australia, a wild cat, not a like full tiger size, more like a,
Like a
serval size, you know, not too big. Well, the thing is, they called it the Tasmanian tiger, but it looked more like a dog.
Well, they got a lot of dog-looking creatures over there. They got the dingo.
They got very exotic animals in Australia. But the question is, why?
Well, why and who's funding? And like when you said the word CEO, I'm like, so this is a for-profit company.
Well, either, you know, just because you're CEO doesn't mean you're rich, but think about the amount of money that they are getting to come up with this stuff.
And who are the characters that want these animals to roam our planet again?
Well, they said that's not their goal because, you know, this is the first time that's ever happened. They're not sure health-wise how they'll react to this climate, what kind of viruses, all that. So they're keeping them super protected. At least what I feel, it's not their company's goals to repopulate direwolves.
People say, but
think about it. If we release direwolves into our North America, where this company's based out of somewhere, well, they're going to become the apex predator. They're going to start taking out our gray wolves, who are the current, you know, wolves. It's going to be a whole ecosystem disaster.
Nightmare, yes.
So, and that's why I jokingly picked Jurassic Park, but is it really a joke anymore, Pirate? Because, you know, that's a 35-year-old movie. It was a smash. It was a phenom. No one really took it all too seriously, but people started asking even back in, what, 1991, I believe it came out. Well, what if they could do this?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that all the time. I was thinking, well, hell, you know, them damn T-Rexes come back to Earth, we're all in a
right.
We're all in a little position here that's going to be a little bit difficult to handle here.
Right, right.
Ain't no 9mm taking out a T-Rex.
No, no. Well. And the thing is with that is it, you know, mother, you know, the nature picked these animals to go to extinct for many different reasons, whether it's climate or they ran out of food or viruses or a fucking asteroid hit the planet. Who knows? You know, out of our control. What's the point of doing this just to say you can do it? You know, okay, cool. But I mean, I don't know, man. There's a lot of ethical questions that are coming up on it. I think technologically it's pretty cool that they can do that. But it's like people argue, you know, well, shouldn't we have money research for cancer? And
sure,
and
why not spend it on something worthwhile?
Right, or helping out the poor, you know. So whatever funding this company is getting, it's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, that's just blowing me away. I just think it's preposterous that somebody came up with this idea to bring back these wolves. How tall are these wolves?
I didn't get those stats in this article, but basically when I was doing some research earlier, I don't know, they can get upwards of over their top of their head up to 3.5-4 feet, like their back.
That's a big size dog.
A big dog.
That's a big dog.
A big dog. Now, granted, these aren't pure dire wolves because of genome splitting, and they had to use actual wolves. Wombs, you know, their tummy. Oh,
there we go again with the tummy.
Yeah. Well, no, they had to use actual wolves to birth, you know, to carry the dire wolves because their, you know, their DNA and their genomes are close. But yeah, they're not like pure, of course, but every time they rebreed, they can start making a more pure by only sticking with their own kind. But yeah, there's a lot of ethical questions when it comes to this, and the future could be scary with what, you know, like you said, what if they bring back the dinosaurs?
Yeah, I mean, the wolf, the dinosaurs, the woolly mammoth, can you imagine him just running down the road here?
Well, that was in their announcement there that they're looking at. But here's the thing about, I watched that guy on Joe Rogan that he covered, because Joe Rogan asked about, well, what about dinosaurs? And he goes, that's where it's more challenging. He said, where these animals went extinct about 10,000 years ago, they had a hard time just finding their DNA because it deteriorates over time. The big catch with the dinosaurs is the last known dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. So he pretty much says in our life, he said it's possible, but of course everything in science is possible. But he basically said in our lifetime and probably our kids' lifetime, you ain't got to worry about no dinosaurs. Because think about it, these crazy people, in a way, smart, crazy people are doing this now with wolves. You know, that's no big deal. They're in their fence. We're not going to let them out. And let's just hold them to that. Let's just say they will do that. They'll never, you know, go crazy breeding dire wolves or ever release them into the, you know, to the public. Well, what about the mad scientist says, fuck that, I want a damn T-Rex. And if the T-Rex is anything as aggressive as the movie, because we really don't know. We believe that the T-Rex was an apex predator itself, was an absolute badass. You know, no one fucked with it, basically.
Well, the thing was enormous. It was like...
Well, not even just enormous. The way its jaw structure was proved and all that. I mean, the little arms always cracked me up. But, you know, think about with that big old head and face... Probably really didn't need it. Probably over its evolution, it used less of those legs because that mouth got so big, right? And they're just able to tear stuff up. But that's only through speculation. Now, if we are able to actually revive a T-Rex, you know, we don't know what kind of aggression it will be or not. But it's, again, be on the cautious side, because this guy who was on Joe Rogan, he said when the dogs or the wolves got about 5 months old, he said they started getting more distance from the humans because they let them out in the, you know, 2,000-acre pasture or whatever.
Sure.
He said the male approached him and basically let him pet him and then immediately walked away. And that scientist guy said he knew that was probably the last time he'll ever touch that wolf.
Oh, boy.
Because they're pure wild, dude. You rarely hear of a person having a wolf for a pet, because there is no taming them, and they either die easily in captivity or, you know, or give up, because, you know, dogs, wolves are very emotional creatures. They can get depressed. They can be sad. You've seen these videos of these dogs crying at the coffins of the recently deceased loved ones. I mean, dogs are special animals, man, you know, yeah, but, yeah. I don't know, man. I just, I think science wise, cool, but the ethical reason why?
Pirate doesn't think it's cool at all. I would like to hit the boom 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 button.
Oh yeah, we can do that. You know, because so you just don't think.
I think it's a terrible idea.
I mean, you know how.
Well, everyone here seems to be lately very angry with Donald Trump over the recent tariffs that have been enacted over a lot of our allies and other countries that we do trading with and across the whole world. And it's all because Trump has a plan and an idea that America should go first, mm-hmm. be first, and it will benefit everybody here in the United States, basically, I believe. I think that we have not benefited from America being first since maybe the 60s, possibly the 50s.
Maybe in the manufacturing front. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, look, let's take the average, great blue collar job, the automakers. Look how it destroyed OH-10 and Indiana and Michigan, especially, because all those were the big three, right? GM, Ford, sure. Chrysler, and arguably made better cars back then too. And badass cars. You look at, even though I don't have any cars from the 60s or the 70s, man, that little era, hell, throw in the 50s too. Fuck it. Throw in the 50s. Some of those cars from the 50s. Oh my God. Like Mr. Miyagi's truck from Karate Kid. Remember that yellow? I don't know if it was a Chevy or Ford. It was a Dodge.
Yeah.
Oh my. That brown truck. Oh sure. My. And then how about Daniel's yellow car he gave him? Banzai Daniel. But it just,
well,
I've learned more about tariffs in the last 2 weeks than I ever have before.
Well, tariffs have been around. And
I didn't understand how they worked until recently.
Pretty much he hasn't brought anything different to the table. He started messing with it back in his first term.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing that we had some tariffs being enacted for certain metals and certain things used in manufacturing and industries.
So he got more specific back then.
Yes. And now he's stirring the pot, and it's actually going to put America first. And he's the first president in history to risk his presidency and legacy for working families. I mean, this is what this is all about.
And the MAGA party, because I don't want to say Republicans, the MAGA party has become the party of the working people. And
yes.
And it used to be for the Democrats, but they've lost it.
They have, and the working class man is pretty much not represented in the United States economy anymore. We are mainly a service
and consumer-based
economy.
We buy shit.
Yeah, and there's a lot of services, a lot of things that we buy. Service is also restaurants. And
service can also mean buy. I'm hiring you to do, you know, come cut my trees or something.
There you go. That's a service.
Right.
And you know, so, and also too, our country is purchasing things constantly from where? Where do we purchase from, Chewy?
China.
Exactly. And we are up to how many trillion in debt, Chewy?
You fucked it up! You fucked it up!
37 trillion.
You got it.
Last I checked.
Yeah. And, you know, that's up from 23 trillion, they say, in 2019. So that's a lot of trillion.
Well, and okay, so part of this discussion with Trump, because we're going to be a little all over the place with this, because it's about Trump, it's about Doge, it's about trade, it's about tariffs. Did they not see that all these other countries have been tariffing us all these years, and sure, that's been Trump's argument? So the people who are freaking about our tariffs on other countries that don't want us to do it, why do they think it's okay for other countries to tariff us then?
It's not okay, because I feel that if a trade is, I'll give you this, here you go, I'm giving you three coconuts.
The trade,
and you give me,
well, the trade still means you buy it. The tariff is an extra tax on it.
Sure, the tariff is an extra, but we're consuming so much imported stuff.
Yeah,
and they're not consuming our stuff.
They are, but not as much. You know why? Because they tariff the imported goods from our country to them, which puts the prices higher.
Sure.
So the average Chinaman, you know, says, ah, it costs too much.
Exactly.
I would love to get a Ford Mustang. You know, of course, it's still made in America, thank God. Has to get shipped to the United States. Well, what is the tariff for automobiles coming into China? I don't know. But it's got to be high enough, whereas, you know, I don't know completely a lot of stuff about Chinese culture, but I see a lot of videos in downtown and Shanghai and Beijing and Hong Kong. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't see any Ford Mustangs driving around.
You never see any.
I see, as you would call, the Ching cars.
The only place you're going to see that is in Cuba, and they're driving Mr. Miyagi cars around right now.
Right, because of our embargo on them.
The main thing is, right. We don't have. But the other thing is, we also sold our soul to the devil when we canceled, like you said, in the Rust Belt, all of our factories. Mm-hmm. Do you think that? Over there in Ching, that they're using our Hoover vacuums?
No,
they got their own Ching vacuum.
Right. Probably, you know, better, too.
It might be. You probably got a super whodunit motor on it, and it's built by Kawasaki or something.
But see, look, the Chinese are, I don't want to say fault, just took advantage of it. Okay. But where did they take that advantage from? From corporations in this country.
Yes.
Who said, well, let's go with Walmart, because Sam Walton would done flipped his grave and burned it by now after seeing what he said. Made in the USA, right?
Oh, yeah.
Made in the USA.
Yeah.
Made you feel kind of proud when you went to Walmart.
Oh, man. They had the American flag on every product.
Right. It's average junk. It still is. It's not bad shit. I've bought some of my workout clothes there. And you know, I mean, it's all right.
Well, I am a consumer of Walmart.
Most red-blooded Americans are. And that includes the libs. Okay. Walmart is all right. But my point being is that these corporations said, hey, look, we can keep the prices relatively the same, but the manufacturing is going to be so much cheaper if we send it overseas.
And that's where we went wrong.
And that's where we went wrong, because that means jobs started getting eliminated.
And that started back in the 60s, right around that time, 50s, 60s.
Not so much yet, because China, even though the Mao Zedong movement happened right after World War II, China didn't start doing their version of capitalism, because they have adopted a version of capitalism. They didn't start doing that till around the early 70s.
So it was the 70s, yes.
Because that asshole Nixon, who I can't stand, Republican, by the way, yeah. President Nixon,
yeah.
That asshole got us off the gold standard.
Which is not a good idea.
Opened up trade to China.
Well, remember, he visited the Great China Wall.
All that.
Yeah.
He was the first president ever to go visit China. So consequences, you know, whether it was intentional or not, I want to believe this was intentional, because it's all about profit.
Always is.
These companies like, hey, look at that. You know, and even the Asian market in general. We talked about this the other night on the phone or whatever. Remember in the 80s, the whole joke was everything was made in Japan?
Yeah.
Because 80s was also the electronic boom.
I remember. What was it? Panasonic was the TV back in the day?
And they are still one of the best.
Sony was the TV back in the day?
Me being part Japanese, I'm proud of the technological electronic boom from the Japanese. However, that only lasted through the 80s. Made in Taiwan, too, is the other big joke. It was either made in Japan or made in Taiwan in the 80s. And then, you know, well, I ain't buying no Qing car. I buy American. And too bad, American cars of the 80s pretty much are garbage. But that's another story. But no, so that's when the dynamics started changing. And then the joke, I remember in the 90s, everybody started noticing, man, is everything made in China now? You know, and then it turns out it is. I'm sure my Macintosh here. I'm sure this task. I'm sure this microphone. The only thing.
How about this thing?
Your iPhone. The only thing that's not made in China at this table, my friend, are you and me.
Yeah.
You know.
Not yet.
Hey, until they clone us, right?
Start like cloning
the dire,
us.
Like the dire wolf?
Yeah. Right. Start making a factory. Let's make American over
that's
here.
That's another quick point I didn't bring up in the last segment I thought about now. What's going to stop them from cloning a human?
Sure.
Holy shit. I didn't think about that to just, ooh.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyways, back to these tariffs. So, you know, 70 countries have already bended the knee.
Sure, they've bended.
They want to make a deal.
They can read the room.
Yeah, China's playing tough ball, but it won't last because their stock market's gone down. And then, hey, our stock market didn't boom today, Pirate, but it did okay. You know what happened to they wanted
the crash.
They wanted to call it Black Monday, just like the Black Monday from God. When did that happen? In the late 80s. There was a Black Monday where they shut the market down because the sell was like, oh, we got to stop this. I don't remember what
George H.W. Bush's years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming him. I don't know what the circumstance was as where
we had a rough economy right around 91, 90, some
recession.
Around.
I do remember.
And it was during that time. I bet you if you looked it up later in one of our breaks.
I do remember now we were coming out of the recession in the early 90s.
That was a bad times, Chewy.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the other thing. Okay, so speaking of these tariffs, right? You want to hear some lying ass bullshit from our mainstream media?
Let's hear it.
CNN, you know, the trusted name of news network, said that Donald Trump put a tariff on penguins in the South Pacific. Like he's going to tariff penguins. That's what their big ha 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 moment is. And the reason why I'm ha 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 is because there's more to that story. Okay, these two islands that are off the coast of Australia somewhere, never even heard of them, are unoccupied. There is no people living in any kind of organized fashion. However, they are Australian islands. Well, they have fisheries there. So the fishermen dock, just like we see on, you know, what's that crab show I like? I forgot the name of it. I haven't watched it in a while. That crab show on National Geographic or whatever, where they go out in Alaska and they grab the crab. You've seen promos for that show.
Yeah, you're talking about the
what's the name of that damn show? I haven't seen that in a while.
It's like a fishing ship show, right?
Yeah. All those big boats, they catch crab.
Yeah.
It's not relevant. Anyways, so there are fisheries on that island and there are manufacturing on that island now. The people that live there come and go because it's on a rotational seasonal thing. So it's a seasonal job. You'll go there for 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. I don't know what the contract is. And of course, there's housing in a small town per se, but the town consists of like a commissary, a little movie theater, entertainment, and a gym. That's how basic it is. It's not like, okay, I'm going to run down a hardware store and pick up some 2x4s. No, they have just enough necessities to, operate the place. Well, their import to us is that they need a lot of machinery and stuff for the fishing line and all that. Well, they sell their fish to us. And then so the tariff went on them that you know, now if you want to buy our stuff, you're going to pay more for it.
Sure. They pay.
So instead of reporting the story that there is actual an economy happening on these islands, even though they're uninhabited, they wanted to sit there and say, Trump is just tariffing penguins because this island happens to have penguins on them.
And what kind of jobs do penguins do again?
Exactly. It just, they don't, and people hear these talking points and then they want to fucking
run with it.
And they want to argue with you.
And they'll run with it.
Because that second half of the story, I told you, you think that's going to get reported later on by CNN, like a retraction? Well, you know, later we kind of misled you and, you know, didn't tell the whole thing.
Absolutely
not. What's up with Trump with this tree he's doing or something? Didn't he plant a tree or something like that?
Yeah, there is a tree that's been planted during the Andrew Jackson administration term.
Damn, all the way back in the day, old Hickory.
Old Hickory planted this southern magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called the Jackson magnolia. And, of course, in many past years, this tree has started, and they usually have a lifespan of about 120 to 130 years, these magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, my magnolia is probably reaching about 65 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it is starting to get some upper tree rot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes depending where they're at. But the this said tree, in the past couple of years, 2017, they had to trim it one time.
Yeah.
It had some limbs that were breaking off and falling and hitting the White House. So recently they decided that the tree, they had arborists come out and they said the tree is rotting even worse. I'm speaking layman terms here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're saying that, you know, to eliminate any risk of the personal injury or property damage to the White House, the tree should be removed as soon as possible. So they got, you know, permits, all this other stuff, and they cut the thing down.
Right.
And lowered it down. And of course, Trump said that he is going to actually plant a new Jackson magnolia tree.
Yeah, didn't he do that today or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And that tree was actually planted in memoriam for Rachel Jackson, who was Andrew Jackson's wife, who had passed away during term.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, you know, pretty cool that this tree is being replaced. And, you know...
Well, you're a landscape guy. You notice stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
It's another tree that's being planted, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful tree.
Do you think this will satisfy the left that Trump is looking like a tree hugger, or is that still not good enough?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of trees. The White House has approximately 33 commemorative plantings.
Yeah, but my question is this going to satisfy the climate people?
Most likely not, because you're never going to satisfy them. I mean,
he's literally planting a tree, and they'll be like, you know, it'd be like that wife that you can't stand. You're planting it wrong.
Oh, I'm sure.
You don't know what you're doing. That's the wrong fertilizer. You know, sit there and supervising you the whole time. You know, with their hands on the hip.
You think when Trump plants it, they'll give him one of those shovels that's painted gold?
Oh, I'm sure he did some kind of ceremonial thing.
That'll be a ceremony.
He didn't dig that damn hole, man.
They'll have a landscaper sent to the side, the White House grounds team.
He took a little gold shovel or silver shovel and then just shoved a little dirt on it. Because the thing about the Donald...
You think he could plant that tree?
No. The thing about the Donald, you've rarely seen him in ever casual clothes. He's either wearing a suit... Or he's in a golf outfit, which still means long pants and a golf shirt.
He's always
never seen the dude in a t-shirt and shorts.
I've never seen him in a jeans or a...
Right, or just normal everyday man's clothes.
Or how about a leisure suit?
I mean, right. Think about it. He's been around since the 80s, and he was the businessman, right? He was the Don. He was known in the 80s, and every time you saw him in the tabloids or something, the dude was always wearing a suit. That's like his thing. He's a suit guy.
Well, I mean, he believes that business attire is a professional.
Or is that his level?
Yes.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I think that's cool. They planted the tree, but it wasn't like Donald really planted the tree.
Well, it is cool that they.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Andrew Jackson, and you know, he was a president, and you know, they're replacing it in honor. I mean,
right. And what's the story you had about? About Doge, you know, what's going on?
So here's a Doge update.
What's going on with that?
What's happening in Doge?
Because Doge has been quiet for about a week because I think the second part of their investigation's happening. So they're gathering stuff. Like they're not done. Like apparently, not apparently, Elon says they will start looking into why is congressional members rich when a congressperson makes $185,000 a year?
Sure.
Why are they multimillionaires?
I guess they're going to be looking at a lot of back doors on these buildings.
Kind of like how we talked, you know, in pre-show, and we'll talk about it now. You asked, well, why are these people so upset about Doge? Well, I'm telling you, because he's going to expose the BS money that these people did nothing to earn.
Sure.
And put it in their pocket, just like the foreign aid. Because we've been here for years, foreign aid. We give so much money in foreign aid. They treat us like shit. Well, it turns out a lot of that foreign aid doesn't go to foreign aid. It gets recycled through a couple money launderers and then back into their own pockets for just wealth and power. And you know, they said in the Swiss Alps they've caught a lot of Ukrainian oligarchs there on snow ski vacations. I mean, well, hold on a second, time out. Your country's in the middle of a fucking war. What are you doing vacationing in the fucking Alps? Why? Because they're making the cash.
Yes,
even Zelensky complained, whether to believe him or not, now after his little tantrum a couple weeks ago. Even Zelensky's complained. He's only received half the funding he said Joe Biden promised him. So that other money that was promised, where did that go? To the oligarchs.
Well,
what's up with Doge? What you got?
Apparently, last month, Doge has terminated over 113 contracts valued at $4.7 billion. That's what Doge has been up to, including a U.S. agricultural Department of Agricultural consulting contract valued at $145 for Peru climate change activities. Exactly. But we were also looking at there were $51 million in cuts from the U.S. African Development Foundation, which included hundreds of thousands of dollars for marketing shea butter
in Africa.
I guess they need to get shiny skin over.
Well, are they insinuating that these African people stink? I mean, you know,
shea butter is like a lotion.
It's a moisturizer that comes from a natural source that they put in soap now. That
sure.
They say it's supposed to help make your skin more smooth and radiant, all that oil overlay crap. Because the only reason why I know this, Pirate, I hate to admit this, but I have super sensitive skin.
What the hell?
So I have to be careful of what kind of soap I use. And the shea butter is one of those things that's fine. I don't break out in
hives. I like shea butter.
I don't break out in hives when, you know, I use it.
I have no problem with shea butter.
Well, I'm just saying, there are certain soaps. Most soaps, I cannot use them. I will break out in hives, man. It's weird.
No, that's cool. I mean, look, this is preposterous. To put $51 million into marketing shea butter, pineapple juice, mango drying facilities. They also said, for instance, that another part of this money, there was $246,000 spent at a mango drying facility in Ivory Coast. Do we even know who these people are? What are they doing over there with our money in the Ivory Coast?
Does the mango farm even exist?
So another thing is, they also had $99,000. Look at these oddball numbers. $99,566 oddball pricing was spent to increase yogurt production in Uganda.
Well, come on. You got to have some tasty yogurt in Uganda, man.
Well, I guess. And then they said that, here's another one, $84,059. Why not add another dollar if you're just going to waste so much money?
Well, look at it this way. It's all monopoly money to them. So, you know, an exact number, does it really matter?
Well, that money was spent on a business incubator for spa and wellness entrepreneurs in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And $50,000 was spent to train farmers how to grow dragon fruit in Senegal.
And Elon's a Nazi, huh?
Yeah.
For exposing this.
Yeah, I guess people think that because you're exposing this waste, that, you know, they're somehow exposing them.
Well, that's what it is.
And that's what's going on here.
That's been the argument, that they said the ones crying the most are usually the fraudsters.
Exactly.
And even Elon shocked by their behavior because they loved him before he got red-pilled. Loved him. The left loved him. He's building Tesla, all electric cars. He's going to save the planet. He's going to outpace NASA because he's embarrassing them, because the amount of cost of launch compared to NASA is like night and day. I don't have the exact numbers, but I seen them one time. It was like shocking what SpaceX does versus NASA. Well,
they just had the launch the other day.
They launch almost every day, man. Yeah,
they landed successfully in California. They landed the thing on a barge. I mean,
yeah, they've had a couple mishaps.
For NASA to do that, it would take years.
NASA hasn't done that since the space shuttle return
well, and rocket. And the space shuttle just it got too old and outdated.
Not even that. Too expensive.
Too expensive.
The engineering, don't get me wrong, it was an engineering marvel. It was also a maintenance nightmare.
Oh, all them tiles would fall off. Sometimes they had to land the thing on top of a jet, remember?
No, they didn't land it on the jet.
Well, they carried it across. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that. That would have been kind of cool. No,
they should develop one like that.
Even the engines had to be completely taken out and apart, and they were reusable.
Well, I remember watching the space shuttle get ready to go, and they're like on the last countdown, and they'd abort a mission because some leak in some hydrogen tank or something like that.
They did had a lot of aborts.
Yes.
And sadly, we lost two crews.
We had explosions.
Space shuttle due to mechanical engineering problems.
We had some major problems, yeah.
Right. And sadly, you know, we're the only country in the world that has lost astronauts.
Sure.
Not even the Russians with their 1960s rocket. They still use a 1960s
rocket. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What country do you believe goes up into space the most?
We do.
Exactly. So
we take the most risk.
We take the most risk. We're going up. The more you expose yourself, mm-hmm. the more you're going to expose the risk.
We're leading.
We're leading.
Just like the test pilots of the late 40s trying to break the sound barrier, the Chuck Yeager.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
But a lot of pilots died getting in these experimental aircraft, and that's why, in a way, Eisenhower, who was part of forming NASA, he wanted test pilots to become astronauts because he knew they were a little crazy to start with.
Yeah.
And have balls. You know, because our first space program pirate, our astronauts literally sat on top of modified missiles.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, those missiles were intended for war, not to kill, to take away life, not to put life into space. So talk about, are you sure about this? I would be more comfortable doing it now. You know, if you know, let's say, because that's one of the goals of SpaceX, that one day you'll be able to fly into space affordably. Probably within our lifetime, too. We'll be a little older. But can you imagine, you know, a couple $100? Hey, pirate, you want to go get some lunch in Tokyo? Yeah, man, let's go. Because according to Elon, that rocket he's developing now, the Starship, the big silver one, he also wants to use it for passenger flights in the world.
So we can fly up in the air and land in Tokyo.
30-minute flight from Florida to Tokyo.
Oh, that's badass.
I mean, we can literally go have lunch and be back in the afternoon. I just mind blowing. And that's what Elon's doing. So back to the point of, we're asking, why do they hate him so much? Because he got red pilled. And I think you asked me in the pre-show, why do they hate Trump so much?
Well, the other thing is, and I've always thought that people are always going to hate successful people.
People hate success. And we talked about this before. There are certain people on both sides of the aisle who refuse to try to understand the other side.
They refuse.
And they drink the Kool-Aid. Literally, they are spoon-fed the information from mainstream media. Mainstream media fucking sucks, but they still have an influence out there. But they're losing big time, dude. Their viewership, with the exception of Fox News and One America News and what was the other one? Newsmax. Those are the three conservative news sites. But the other two aren't considered mainstream. Fox News is considered mainstream. But what I mean mainstream, I mean the liberal.
The ABCs, NBCs, MSNBCs,
CNN,
PBS,
NPR. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are all your drive-by media.
Those are as a Rush Limbaugh, the great Rush Limbaugh would say. But, yeah, they're the ones that are losing out big time, and they still keep spouting their BS, like I told you earlier with the Penguin story. You know, just all they do is these blank little headliners, and then they have a panel to joke about it and discuss it, and then slam on the president for putting a tariff on a penguin, and then it turns out. No, they're charging us for the shit that we send them because they need it for their fisheries. They got maintenance, mechanics. They need materials, you know. But
well, I think that the 18 months that Doge has to complete this task.
Oh, it's 18 months?
It's 18 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's supposed to end.
Because they're talking about Elon's going to be ending his part of this soon. Like, there's still a team.
Oh, there's some type of lady. I remember I spout her name out last time. Okay. She's in charge of Doge.
Okay.
And she does the heading of it. And
Elon's more of the spokesperson.
He's a consultant and a spokesperson.
Right, right.
And this is the problem people are hating. I mean, I'm sure he's there overseeing a lot of things and making suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he has a lot of ideas.
Well, the suggestions are just cut them. They expose and cut, expose and cut, or expose, and then kind of like, did you hear that story about the cave with the documents for Social Security? Did you hear this story?
No.
So this is a Doge story. Elon found that every person that retires has a stack of paperwork about this thick that the federal government does themselves. I mean, you as a retiree have to fill out some forms, but the rest of it is a manual process dating back from the 50s that they take those documents and store them in a mountain facility that has almost hardly zero cause for a fire. But the fact that their federal workers have to make a jacket on each person, basically like a Bible full of paperwork that they have to fill out and then print and then store in this Iron Mountain facility. It's like, holy shit, because when you and I put in for retirement, you go on the little federal government website, you fill out the form on the website, make sure you are who you are, probably have to show your Florida driver's license, blah, 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 whatever, just to prove who you are, right? All the back-end process stuff was all this printed manual work that they still do from the 50s.
What the hell?
And it's like, really?
And who's going to go get all that? That's their backup files?
That is the files.
That is the files.
That is the files.
And that's what they're gonna send some Joe Blow in there.
You're right. Even
pull
even,
Chewie's pull Chewie Chewbacca's his credentials
or records. Yes,
yes, sir. I'll go to the back.
Well, it's gonna take a little while.
It's gonna take him a while because he's got to go through the A's, the B's. Finally gets to the C's, and. How many millions and billions of people live in the United States?
Right. You got to find that man.
Can you imagine that aisle?
You got to find that man. Well, think about trying to find the Smiths or the Williams or the common names. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Nelsons, you know, all those very.
The Joneses.
The Joneses, all these common.
How about the Chings?
But just saying, all these common last names. And it's just like, I just, you know. And these people are upset over it.
So
they're upset over the process being exposed. That our federal government is so inept and so corrupt and so backwards.
I mean, the problem is the majority of people, I would expect that the people that are getting pissed off and tired of this or what have you are people that aren't business owners or aren't people that are managers or people that run businesses, because anybody that runs a business wants to run it efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And the government is a business.
Yeah, but they are nothing close to efficient because they don't have the drive to be more efficient because I get paid no matter what. Kind of like when Elon asked these people to send an email of the five things you do in a week, and these people freaked out.
Well, the problem is,
you can't tell your boss what you worked on this week.
Every position, no matter where you work at, has efficiencies necessary to keep production going.
Right.
You can't just go in and gossip and look at stuff on Facebook and drink coffee all day. That's not a job.
No, no. But here's the thing. Again, the easily programmable left. There was the protest this week. There was a sign that says, hands off my Social Security. Nobody is touching your Social Security, lady. What Elon exposed was several hundred people over the age of 120 years old were still getting Social Security checks.
Well,
now, I'm going to argue there are very few people left on this planet who are 120. The rest of them are fraudsters acting alive, collecting whatever. It's just a couple thousand dollars.
Well,
couple thousand dollars starts adding up when you have a bunch of fake Social Security numbers.
Well, let's look at this thing, too. I've always thought this, too. How inefficient it is that we still have a stupid paper Social Security card.
Yeah.
And that paper is nothing more than just a piece of regular paper that
our picture's not even on it.
Yes, there's no picture, no thumbprint, no nothing. I've photocopied it before.
Right.
And it has looked exactly like come on, man.
And you're right. That hasn't changed in how long? That's supposed to be secure. To be safe.
Well, here's the thing.
Because people steal your identities now with the Social Security card.
Here's the thing. The other day I had to call a government agency recently. And I've also had to call a credit card company recently.
Mm-hmm.
A bank. They always ask the most important question.
What's that?
Let me have the last four digits of your Social Security, sir.
That part's fine.
And so, but the thing is, if I was starting a new account, I could just throw out a number.
But that's what people do.
Yeah.
And they snipe the credit card industry, and they have the whole number.
Yeah.
They will randomly call, spoof their number.
Sure.
And keep calling until one of those numbers actually goes through.
And works.
And starts working. So that is the Social Security that's going to get touched. But these fools who are legitimate, red, white, blooded American, God bless them, they're libs, but they earn their Social Security. They work like you and me. Their checks are not getting touched. But that's the scare tactics that Elon's going to cut our Social Security. No, he is. Oh, my God.
Well, that's just to get everybody riled up.
Their protests, and at least this one stayed peaceful. It did.
Well,
protests are designed to change hearts and minds, Pirate. They ain't changed shit with me.
They're not changing nobody's mind over here.
No.
Also, Joe Biden in January, or whoever was in charge in January,
right. Yeah.
Signed a recent executive bill, and this was to benefit government employees that had government pensions coming to them. And also wanted to receive Social Security.
Hmm.
Well, in the past, there was a government pension offset plan or Social Security offset plan.
Right, that they wouldn't get both.
They wouldn't get both. Well, recently, Joe decided that they should get both.
I'm hearing that either Trump already EO'd that and changed it, because it didn't go into full effect yet, thank God.
Because what would happen was... It's on the block, but we don't know.
What would happen is that if those people who are retired from the federal government started getting that extra bonus check from Social Security, and then Trump EOs it, takes it away, even those people would be like, hey! Because it is kind of nice, you know, but... That again just goes to show you how garbage our federal government is, because think about it. They're the only one entity left in this country that has guaranteed retirement.
Sure.
You work at 20 years, 25, 30 years, you can retire at 20, but you know, the longer you work, the more you get, right? Think about it. For example, I know this guy, he's a director at the VA. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army. So he was already making some pretty good coin by the time he retired. I think he put in 25 years in the Army. God bless you, sir, you know. Well, he's been at the VA, Veterans Administration, at the hospital for about 15, 20 years now. He's about to hang it up.
So he's paid in Social Security for 20 years now.
Well, yeah, he has. But, yes. Well, he's always contributed to Social Security, but that's the same thing like the military.
Besides the military time.
Not only does he get his pension, which he has been getting the last 15 years from the Army, because that starts day one.
I'll be damned.
You retire. Not only has he been earning a paycheck at the VA all these years, making pretty good money being a director. Now he's going to be receiving a second pension from the VA. Or no, his money is going to increase because he basically retired again. So his time of service now went from 25 to 40 years. So he's not going to get an extra check. He's just going to get a big, fat, bumpy check. And it's just like, man, maybe I should have worked for the federal government. Because look at the post office people and all these people in the federal government. Hey, we know somebody who worked for the federal government. And that was one of his words, and it used to annoy me. I have guaranteed retirement, like so pompous about it. And I said, that's really nice of you to say that to me, because the rest of us, we don't get a pension like you.
No.
You know, most places don't do pensions anymore. They put you on 401k.
Nobody
which
does.
Which is bullshit. 401k doesn't have nearly the amount of money a pension.
Anything that any employee has left over from his check, if anything nowadays, maybe can go into the 401k. But most people are living check to check or they're struggling.
And here's what I can't stand about this individual. This guy said retired. He makes more money now than he did when he worked.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's loco, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are the libs trying to tell us how to live our lives and what we should do, and that MAGA's a Nazi and Elon's a Nazi. And
well, those are all opinions,
people. And the country, right, and this country's coming apart. We just live in separate realities, but their opinions... Look at the golden parachute retirement they get because they say they earned it. And I said, you worked just like anybody else. You just happened to work for the government. I mean, even in our state, we have a Florida state retirement plan
for
all the government workers. The matter of fact, our city of Tampa and Hillsborough County is in on the state. So even though you work for the county or state all these years, when you retire, that money you put into it through the state finances goes through the state retirement because it's still considered a government job.
And that's why the government needs you to keep working, Chewy.
Right, right. Exactly. They need
because you
taxes.
Need to, they need your money.
They need the taxes. But yes. Think about it. Even in our own state, these school teachers, firefighters, police, park rangers, God knows whoever, what I call
DOT.
Whatever. All guaranteed retirement if they do their 20.
Those are all government jobs.
They do, and this is our state. This is our state.
I think there are more people that work for the government than do regular people jobs.
Because look how enticing it is.
Sure.
You work. You do your 20 years, or maybe more, because the more you work, the better pension you get. But it's like, is our state even covering this legitimately? According to Florida, we are. We have an excess of money, apparently. We're in a surplus. But the other thing is, though, that they don't talk about, we have a state debt. Have they started paying down our state debt, or does that matter? I'm really wondering to think, with all these cuts and all this stuff and this spending, does all that really matter at their level? Because it just seems like they're just making this stuff up to control us while they do not get affected by the economy at all. I'm almost wondering if, I know it's conspiracy theory level shit here, but it almost sounds like the very few are really controlling the system that just keeps us pissed off at the libs pissed off at us, while they just keep cha-ching, 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 you know? I mean, just...
Who the fuck are you, man?
You know, so
what you're insinuating is that Doge, all that shea butter and mango and Ivory Coast and
It's exposing
all those numbers,
exposing the corruption, and they're upset about it.
They're upset.
So
they are upset.
We're ready to move on. We've been on this subject for a while, man.
Good job, Doge. We hope that you're not conspiracy, and we hope that Doge continues their efforts.
We'll see. Hooters shifts power. So all this is going to be a segment of Florida news and Florida man. Pirate's going to have some Florida man for you. I think I got a Florida woman in this as well. But the restaurant that started in the Tampa Bay area, Clearwater, 42 years ago, they had a problem with a separate company that was a franchisee of Hooters, and that's the company that went bankrupt. The other side of Hooters in this Bay Area here in Tampa, our Hooters are completely fine. Well, that investment group that franchised off to that other group has now bought up those Hooters, so they're bringing it all back under the same umbrella. Now, does that mean it's still going to shut places down? They're not sure. But Hooters also said that they're going to try to focus on more family style. But I don't know where they're coming from that, because Pirate and I are Hooters aficionados, by the way.
Oh, yes.
But every time we go to Hooters, I see, it's a bar and grill. And of course, the girls look great. But I see a lot of families in there. So I don't know what they mean by that business model that they want to feel like that they need to be more close to family. But yeah, for those of you that hate Hooters, because a lot of people do, the Hooters in our area is fine. But apparently the Hooters from this other franchise was like really bad though too. But I don't have any frame of reference because I only had Hooters here,
I've had Hooters out of state before. Not the same.
It's not the same?
Yeah. It is not the same.
Yeah.
I've had it in other states up in the Midwest and there's nothing like having a genuine Florida,
right?
With Florida women, Florida gals.
Oh yeah. Oh, speaking of chicken wing place, or another place we go to, not as often, but we enjoy it. The original Beef O'Brady's is going to celebrate 40 years in Brandon.
Happy birthday!
How about
Beef.
That? Where's my laugh Happy here birthday. Thing here?
There we go.
So I'm going to read this out here because it's a great article. The iconic Beef O'Brady turns 40 this year. The well-loved restaurant chain began meagerly in the summer of 1985 in Brandon. Jim Melody, together with his wife Jeanette Melody and three children, opened the original location on Kings Avenue, which is still there, by the way, and I love that it's still there. And we go, right, Pirate?
Oh, I love the OG.
Yep, it's the OG. His desire was to create a family-friendly restaurant and neighborhood pub where friends and family could gather for good food and to watch sports in a comfortable atmosphere. He just did that and more. Jim's restaurant flourished in 1998. Franchises begin at the end of 2024. Beef O'Brady's has 140 locations in 21 states. Wow. The success of Beef O'Brady's can be attributed to a solid family focus that is ever present at the OG location, as the article says, the original location.
Yeah.
Mandy and Matt Edwards are the current general managers. Mandy began at Beef's as a teenager and has been employed there for 15 years. While Jim, no longer living, his wife Jeanette and daughter Melissa Macero visit regularly. His son Sean Melody works at the location creating weekly specials, and his son-in-law J.J. Macero works on the financial side of the business. Jim Jr. opened the Three Bulls restaurant in Valrico in 2019. I kind of heard about that. Their heart will ever be there. It's more nostalgic. The culture here is family. It is genuine. Everyone knows of all the customers' name, Mandy says. The OG location has a highlighted history of Beef's. Also on the wall are Sean's basketball jersey and Jim Melody Jr.'s baseball jerseys from Brandon High School. Customers know many stories from when the restaurant's beginning. Beef O'Brady's is known for its wings. However, it started out as a steakhouse. I didn't know this. The story that the kitchen was robbed in the middle of the night and all the steaks were taken. Chicken wings were most affordable item to replace them. With Jeanette's blessing, Jim began serving wings with Bilal cheese dressing.
Nice.
The OG location, that's blue cheese, by the way. The OG location and restaurants in the chain will be offering anniversary specials this summer. The OG location regularly carry specials and family recipes, including hand-battered and fried mushrooms, spicy collard green soup. I had that,
by the way. That's my favorite.
Awesome. Shepherd's pie, tuna sandwiches, bananas, meatball skillets, and Italian meatball sandwiches. In addition, its wings are always freshly dropped, mild, medium, hot sauces, all made in the house. The Lance and Gobb family have gathered every Friday night at the OG Beef's location for over 30 years. Wow, that talk about regulars. Becky Lance Gobble said Beefle Brady's has become family. She said, quote, I started going when I was just a teen. Then I married my husband, and we decided to make Beef's our Friday night home. It quickly turned into become a family night with our family and friends joining in, and now our grandchildren are with us, Gobble said. To follow the OG Beef special, just go on Facebook and look at the original Beefs. I'll put these in the links later, and just look for the specials out there, man. That's awesome, man. I love hearing
stories. Beefs is a great neighborhood bar dash restaurant. I mean, it's great to go to watch a great sports game.
Yep, we even like the Sefner one too, right?
The Sefner one's pretty damn cool. It's close enough to be an OG, and I mean, they made the inside phenomenal in Sefner, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations to them.
Yeah, so two wing places.
Congratulations to both Sefner and the Brandon OG on your long, long tenure in this area. And, of course, the whole chain and 140 franchises, that's pretty impressive. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Very impressive.
Now, moving on, Florida news. Are your allergies acting up? Mine sure is.
Oh, mine do, man, all the time.
Here's why. Last year's hurricane may be to blame. They said trees may be producing more pollen because of the 2024 hurricanes. Horticulture experts say if a tree is concerned about potential future resources, it'll put out more of its energy into reproduction to facilitate the growth of offsprings, which results in more pollen. Right now, the main culprits are oak and pine trees, so we can thank the...
So basically, yeah, the trees know that many limbs were broken off of them and many leaves were stripped from their branches, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, for some reason, trees are pretty smart. I guess they communicate to each other.
Yeah.
And they probably realize that their brother to the left and right are no longer here because they were cut down recently.
Yeah, the circle of life.
Right? Yeah. So now the acorn that's sitting in the ground in your lawn is going to get pollinized.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a tree here soon, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. here we go. Angry liberal white woman calls Representative Byron Donalds a race traitor before he shuts her down. So Byron Donalds, who's a congressman of Florida and a good looking chap. And he's a Republican that is going to vacate his congressional seat to become governor. Well, he noticed a protest going on and wanted to see what was happening. Well, this woman lectured him, repeatedly sticking his finger in his face and swearing that the congressman showed patience before delivering a mic drop moment. When she finally paused for air after calling him a race traitor, Donalds told her, I'm going to be your governor. Trust me. He's already.
Well, I guess he's very sure of himself. I mean, we haven't even started the process.
Here's these libs for us. You wondering why they act? Well, here's the conversation that was caught on audio and then transcribed here. The lady. But a woman of Congress, because I was in D.C. on Monday for trans state visibility, and I would like you as a member of Congress to rise up and support LGBTQP+ and stop this fucking insane attack on our children who you know who they are. Wow, there's an attack on LGBTQT. Number one, no, of course, because you're a fascist. You're a race traitor. You're a fascist. Representative Donalds, I asked you a question. I said, I don't agree. And then you start yelling at me. You call me a fascist. You call me a race traitor. And you want me to agree with you? Question mark. What are you talking about, ma'am? I'm a constitutionalist. She said, the woman shrieked. Constitutionalist, she said. He said, yes, I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in freedom and liberty for everybody. I believe in the U.S. Constitution. I believe in everybody's rights. But I don't agree. He said, hold on, I don't agree with you. And then all of a sudden, I'm a fascist? That's what's wrong? If all you want to do is scream and curse when I don't agree with you, I'm sorry, ma'am. You are now in the 20% of America. The woman said, you will never get my vote, and you don't live here. Donald says, I'm going to be your governor. Trust me. There's a little more after that, but it didn't matter.
Well, so the point is that she's insinuating that this guy, because he's running on the Republican ticket and says that he's a constitutionalist, is a fascist and a racist.
Yes.
And because he's a black man, y'all.
Yeah, he's an Uncle Tom.
He's an Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
Which, why does this have to be even a problem? Look at his record. Look at what he's done as a congressman. That should be the main thing at hand here, not is he a black guy. I mean, he could be the first black governor of Florida.
Yeah. And you know what? That'll be pretty good because the libs are always championing the first black president, the first female black Indian vice president.
But I don't think they're going to champion him.
Of course not.
They are never going to champion
they
him.
They ultimately do not care about that. They care about who they can control.
And they cannot control
and they
him.
Don't control represented Donald here, who could be our first, you know, Yabro governor. Mm-hmm. And I say, just like the libs, a lot of times use the qualifier of someone's skin. Shouldn't that be enough for him to qualify to be the governor? I mean, you and I both know that's garbage, but that's what they believe is a qualifier, that your skin color matters first. So he's black. He's a man. There you go. DEI checklist all down there, you know, but the man part, no, because, you know, males, no, you know, we can't do all that. How about this one? Charter captain arrested followed confrontational capture in viral video. The man at center of the boating raid incident has been arrested. Brock Horner, 40, was taken in custody Friday. And basically, the charter boat got too close. He felt like another boat got too close to him and went over there to confront this other boater and got into a verbal confrontation with him and then pulled up next to him and boarded his boat. He was so fired up and he's been charged with burglary with assault or battery for non-forced entry. And Horner is accused of threatening this other guy on the boat, escalating an incident to a criminal offense, according to investigators. In addition to the crime investigation, U.S. Coast Guard and the Florida Wildlife Conservation are conducting separate investigations due to the location of the incident. What they're saying is this type of behavior. Here goes somebody's father we know. This type of behavior will not be tolerated in our waterways or anywhere else in our city. So either way, a charter boat captain who, you know, does fishing for a living, kind of a cool job, right? Takes people out fishing, decided to get a confrontational with another boater. But don't you got a couple of Florida man stories, Pirate?
I do have a Florida man story, folks.
All
and
right.
Here is the story that you all have been waiting for. Earrings worth $769,500 recovered by Florida police after alleged thief swallows them, Chewy.
Those are some expensive earrings.
Yeah. Mr. Gilder swallowed, 32 years old, by the way, swallowed the Tiffany & Company. That's why they're so damn expensive. Are you familiar with Tiffany's?
Yes, yes. Tiffany's & Company.
This happened recently in February. Mr. Gilder was monitored by detectives after this whole incident for at least a dozen days before the earrings were expelled from his system.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it all went down. He said he posed as an assistant of an NBA player so he could be shown very high-end jewelry in a VIP room at Tiffany's store in Orlando.
Wow.
He then distracted the store employees and then ran from the store with two pairs of earrings. Apparently, He also dropped the diamond ring valued of $587,000, Chewy.
Oh, man.
As he fled the stores.
Wow.
The officers then caught up with him later that day, and they saw Mr. Gilder swallowing several objects as they approached him, believed to be the stolen earrings. So they're like, hey, stop right there. And he just grabbed the earrings and said, okay, I'll stop.
Man.
I don't have nothing. So officials transported Mr. Gilder to jail and allegedly heard him say, I should have thrown them out the window.
Now they're in his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And then, shit it out.
What else would that be called?
His tummy.
That, too.
Yeah, well, the only way to do that is they're going to have to put laxatives in him, pretty powerful ones, and he's going to basically liquid shit it out.
Well, what they did is they x-rayed him, and they seen the picture of his abdomen with foreign objects inside.
He really did do it.
So that's when they put his ass in the hospital for 12 days. And I feel sorry for the two sheriffs that probably had to sit there and watch him.
Right.
And they, you know, they had to wait till probably had to change his diaper to make sure this.
Yeah, I'm sure that he was still capable enough to use the toilet.
I just want to know who the hell wants to put those earrings back in their ears.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you put some soap on them, they'll be okay. You know what it is? You just don't tell anybody, you know.
That is so funny.
Yeah, no, that's great. You got any others?
Yes, I do. So apparently there is this this man. He was applying for a job, and he got so pissed off because he was denied the job after the interview that he put his pee that was in a pee bottle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this guy here, he got a piss poor performance. So he allegedly flung multiple water bottles of urine inside a molding supplier store, striking employees as he was denied the job interview for the business. John Connington, 51 years old, registered sexual offender, was reportedly pissed off at this door and molding store in St. Petersburg. And, of course, that's why he didn't get the job. You know?
Yeah, I don't think he got the job, man.
No, and that right there is definitely what a Florida man would do, folks. he was then transported to Pinellas County Jail for actual assault. So, folks, when you're applying for a job.
Yeah, don't do that.
If you want to get the job, do not fling bottles of piss.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
This one's a little crazy, but it seems to be more of the norm lately, and I just wanted to get it out there that you need to be aware of your friends or be aware of your neighbors, I should say. Your friends, you probably should have something figured out by now. At least I hope you do, but your neighbors. Florida authorities bust massive child global child pornography ring, including over 1 million videos seized of infants sexually assaulted.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Now, not that these people did it.
It's still ridiculous.
They were acquiring videos of it and sharing it among the dark web.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's sick, dude.
That's terrible.
So they, I won't get too much detail because I want to get on and off the subject as fast as possible. But like I said, keep an eye on your neighbors. But Florida authorities had obliterated a monster international child pornography network, seizing over 1 million videos and images depicting the sexual abuse of children, including helpless infants. Sick. 8 degenerates, including 7 Florida residents and a Turkish kingpin, now face a wrath of the laws of the stomach-churning operation. The bust, spearheaded by Florida statewide prosecution and Florida Department of Law Enforcement, uncovered a sophisticated dark operation with ties to Turkey, where the alleged ringleader, Emery Bozyuk, laundered money through hacked finance accounts. Well, that's the sick part. Someone's paying for to watch this shit.
Oh my
God.
And someone's profiting off of it as well.
That's exactly, man. That's messed up. There's more to this, but I'm going to move on from this. I'm just saying, you know, we try to keep it lighthearted, but, you know, now and then these little things pop up. I got a Florida woman story for you, Pirate.
Let's hear it.
Tampa dog owner pries open gator's jaws to save her pet from the attack.
This is common. This is very common.
Well, we keep moving into their territory. Yeah. A Tampa dog owner saved her beloved pet from the jaws of an alligator after it was attacked. Within just a few seconds, a gator launched itself out of the lake near the house and towards her dog, Kona, and with one chomp, ate its entire head and its jaws. Both the dog and owner needed stitches, but are okay. Yeah, but she said she reached in there. I saw his eyes. I saw it turning itself around towards us. And I started pulling Kona away, saying, let go. But she was a really strong dog. And then within a few seconds, the gator launched itself out of the lake near the house towards her dog, Kona, and chomped down on it. She's facing it. It's facing her, and it jumped, and it got her. She was up in there to her whole body and head was inside its mouth. I stopped thinking and just dove in, jumped on it, straddled it like a horse, and started prying its jaws open. And Spencer fought against a 6'6" gator. That's not actually too big, but that's a good size. But that's not.
Have you ever seen them things wrangle around before?
Yeah, that's the scary part because But she cut her hand up, and the dog got some actually just chomping on the shoulders, but expected to make a full recovery.
Well, hope Kona makes it.
Yeah, and that will wrap it up for Florida Man and Florida news, a lot of cover. That's the biggest Florida segment I think we've ever done.
That's a long Florida segment.
Well, Pirate, sad part of the news, but we're going to sing showers of praise. We lost a good actor recently by the name of Mr. Val Kilmer, man.
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, he passed away at 65 from pneumonia. A little background here. Val Kilmer starred in Hollywood blockbusters like Top Gun, Batman Forever, Tombstone, Heat, you know, just so many. How about Jim Morrison in The Doors?
I've seen that. It was a good movie.
How about his Real Genius movie where he played a nerd? You know, he went from that year from 85 to 86, went from playing a nerd to Iceman in Top Gun. Talk about a range.
He was a diversified actor. He could do a lot of different characters, different things.
His performance in Tombstone at Doc Holliday is definitely legendary. And even though he only did one Batman movie in the series, it was actually a good Batman movie. He was a good Batman, but he jumped in the third movie. And when he read the script for the fourth one, he said, nah, I ain't doing it. So he didn't come back. And that's how George Clooney got the role after him, by the way. But it said here, Kilmer previously fought battle with throat cancer and recovered after two tracheotomies. Val Kilmer, the broadening, versatile actor who played the forever iconic Iceman in Top Gun, donned a voluminous cape as Batman in Forever and portrayed Jim Morrison in The Doors as past the 65. Kilmer died Tuesday night in L.A., surrounded by family and friends, his daughter, Mercedes Kilmer, and an email to the Associated Press. At least he had his family with him. Kilmer died from pneumonia. He had recovered after a 2014 throat cancer diagnosis that required two tracheotomies. He broke into Hollywood in the 1984 spy-proof Top Secret. I actually never seen that. Followed by the comedy Real Genius, seen that in 1985. Kilmer was later showed his comedy chops again in films including MacGruber and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I have to admit, I haven't seen those either. His movie career hit its zenith in the early 1990s as he made his name for himself as the dashing leading man starring along Kurt Russell and Bill Paxton in 1993's Tombstone as Elvis's ghost in True Romance and a bank-robbing demolition expert in Michael Mann's 1990 film Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. What iconic actor, man, and good at everything he did.
Yeah, he was. I'm just a memorable guy. And just every movie you see, you're just blown away at his acting ability, of
his performance,
wide variety of different types of characters he could play was amazing. I mean, who can go from being Batman
to Doc Holliday,
to the Iceman, To Jim Morrison of all characters,
right?
You know,
this made me happy and sad at the same time. I loved seeing him in Top Gun Maverick. I didn't think
he came back as an old guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't think he was going to do it because he could no longer speak.
His voice was terrible. Yeah.
Well, that speaking part you heard in the movie.
Yes.
That was done with AI.
Okay.
He could no longer speak at that point. Now his character.
Yeah. He made his mouth move or whatever.
He can make his mouth move. Of course, the real Val Kilmer at that point can no longer talk.
That's what I figured.
When he was using the computer to talk to Maverick at first, and pointing at the screen, you know, the Navy needs you and the Maverick needs the Navy, you know, and of course, it was an emotional scene because you realize that Maverick was always a hot pilot, just like Iceman. The difference is 30 years later, Maverick was still battling his demons with the loss of Goose.
Yeah.
And Val told him basically, or Iceman told him, Admiral Iceman told him, you have to move on. You know, he would need you to move on. And then Tom Cruise said in real life, when they met on set for the first time before they got into rehearsing, they were in tears just to see each other.
Yeah.
Because their characters are adversaries in the movies. And then by Top Gun Maverick, Not only weren't they adversaries anymore. They became friends and colleagues. But Maverick's boss was also Iceman because Iceman was a freaking admiral.
Yeah. Oh, it was definitely a touching moment in the show.
Well, and it's funny you say that because there was a line in the movie where Iceman still put, so who's still the best pilot in the Navy? And then Maverick goes, this is a really nice moment. Let's not ruin this. I freaking love it. Yeah. Hey, even in his condition, in his character, because his character had cancer too, right? Even in his condition as a character, they still found a way to have a little fun.
They made light of the situation.
Have a little grin. So, but I mean, how about his performance in Tombstone, man? Freaking Doc Holliday. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know,
played a sick man in that movie.
Well, he got real skinny too. He lost weight on purpose to get skinny.
And he changed his look in that.
Yeah. If you notice him in that movie, he's awful.
He was very skinny, changed his look, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know,
I don't know if that mustache was real.
That's makeup and all that stuff. But, you know, not just, you know, of course, we're talking about Val. That movie in general is just awesome. I mean, Kurt Russell knocked it out.
Sam Elliott
knocked it out. Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton was great.
The guy, I always forget, Stephen Lang, who played Ike Clanton. God, he was good, man. He was. He was an asshole, but he was good. How about even from Landman? Billy Bob had a cameo in it.
Yes.
He was still Gordo back then. He was a little chunkster. Kurt Russell had grabbed him by the ear and threw him out of the saloon.
There was a lot of great actors in there. I mean, and just a great
Dana Delaney.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what's his name? Powers Booth.
Oh.
I forgot his name, the character's name in Tombstone.
Curly Bill.
Yeah. And then how about even Michael Biehn who played Rico?
Rico.
Oh yeah. God, he was good though.
All those guys were great.
And I'm a big fan of Michael Biehn because he was in two huge sci-fi movies in the '80s. He was in the first Terminator movie.
All right.
And he was also in Aliens, where he played a space marine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. You don't remember him in Terminator?
Maybe if I saw his face.
You remember the premise, right? The Arnold robot goes back in time to kill Sarah Connor.
I watched that movie many times.
Well, the Resistance sent a human back. That was played by Michael Biehn.
Oh, okay, yes,
that was. It was Rico in Tombstone. But just great cast, great movie. Just, oh my God, I want to watch it right now. You know, but yeah, no, I'm going on a Val Kilmer journey right now. No, in no particular order. I am just watching Val Kilmer movies. I actually started with, no surprise to you, Batman, and then I just finished up The Doors. I will probably have to watch Top Gun back to back because those just tie in together.
Oh yeah. A
couple of these movies here that they recommend that I'll look it up. I'll see if they're worth it. I just won't start watching. I want to see if I like the premise or not. And then I will absolutely finish with, watch Heat. Gotta watch Heat, but I will absolutely finish with Tombstone because to me, that was probably his best role of all time. Oh, another sci-fi movie they didn't mention here. I like George Lucas film. Willow, fantasy movie.
He played like the hero guy in that. Well, I mean, it was all swords and sorcery and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he was in that movie. He played Mad Mardigan. He was freaking hilarious in it.
Never seen that movie.
Probably wouldn't have, because if you're not into, you know, it was like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of movie with dwarfs and dragons.
Mystical creatures.
And magic. And these little guys, they cracked me up. They were this big and they were called the Brownies.
But when they talk to you like this, you know, hey, come on.
You know, and they like to drink beer.
Oh, nice.
Like one time they got into argument. He goes, which way to the river? And he goes, that way. And he goes, you forget when you are drunk, I am in charge. Which way to the river then? That way. And they were like that big. And then they were played by real actors because there was no CGI back then. They just, you know, shrinked them with, you know, somehow.
Took the camera and shrunk down.
Well, with special photography, sure. Was able to insert them into the movie in scenes. And you could tell it's a little blue screeny because, you know, it's older special effects. But their characters were freaking hilarious. But, yeah, no, Val Kilmer was in that. I mean, just it's like, so, yeah, man.
Well, rest in peace, that guy.
Rest in peace. But I think that's going to wrap up today's show. You got anything else, Pirate? I'm
on the movie horizon or show horizon. I just want to say I wrapped up 1923.
Okay.
I watched it one episode at a time because that's how they release it on Paramount.
Yeah.
And but I'm okay with that. And I watched all of the last seven episodes.
Okay.
And
I got it in my queue. I haven't watched it yet. I know you're eager to talk about it.
I will say that it was a phenomenal last episode.
Yeah.
Because everything.
This is it, right? For 1923?
This is it. Okay. This is it. And everything comes into perspective.
Okay.
That was going on from Yellowstone.
Really?
From the beginning, 1883 to now.
Yeah.
Everything's starting to piece together. It all
ties in.
It all ties in, and you're like, wow.
Okay.
And it even gives you future what could be going on.
Okay.
Future perspective.
Well, Taylor Sheridan, man, the guy's knocking out of the park. I mean, and, you know, we're a fan of his shows, and then not even just to include the Duttons. I mean, Landman has been a freaking huge hit. That's all him. This Taylor Sheridan guy, for an act, he said he's an actor that turned into a writer. And boy, that guy's got stories, man.
Yeah, he's got a lot, and they just keep coming. And yeah. You know, he did the Tulsa King.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that too. That he wrote Tulsa King.
Yeah,
but it's not even just a story. We also have to agree, the acting has been superb in all these shows, man.
All of those shows.
Like Jamie Dutton in Yellowstone. God, I hated him. And you wanted to hate him.
How about Beth?
She's a badass.
Yeah.
How about Rip? You going to fight somebody? You going to fight me?
Yeah.
How about Jimmy's growth going from just a hillbilly, trailer, redneck, loser, drug addict to a cowboy? Jimmy is a legit, and he was getting all these chicks.
Well, and some of those Indian or Indian actors that act in the Yellowstone actually branched off into other shows. I'm currently watching a Robert Redford produced show called Dark Winds.
Okay.
And it's about the Navajo police on the Navajo Nation, which is in Arizona and New Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, man, I mean, these shows have great, superb acting.
And that's been the whole fight with Hollywood is, you know, they're trying to ramp up the movie releases, but there is just so much good TV that a lot of people don't want to bother going to the theater anymore. And there's few and far between. There are probably about four or five movies that I say are coming out here that I will most likely see at the theater. But that is nothing compared to back in the day where I went to the movies two or three times a month. And why? There was that much stuff that came out.
Sure.
It doesn't happen now.
I remember.
Or it's right on TV.
I remember going to the Plit or the AMC or to the
Agency or the Twin.
Or I would hang out in the Merchants Walk out in Lakeland. Mm-hmm. Hell, you would go there and I had a hard time because back in those days, they had 12, 15, 16 theaters.
And they had so many choices.
There was overwhelming amounts of choices that I was like, well, hell, I'm going to have to see this one because next week it's not going to be here at the theater. I'll come back the following week for this one. And
yeah, you had to
plan it out.
Yeah, you had to plan it out, but you don't have to worry about these days with movies.
No. And even when the VCR tapes was coming out and you could go to Blockbuster, you know, you could always count on a movie being at Blockbuster, but Blockbuster's no longer around.
Well, the modern day of Blockbuster is on TV. It's all streaming.
It's all streaming.
I mean, think about it. Netflix pretty much outcompeted Blockbuster not that was in their intention, but the business model, Blockbuster fell apart and Netflix became the de facto, and other companies saw this. So Paramount, all these other studios, like, hey, we got to do our own stuff.
Sure.
And they've all, you know, at first they were a little like, back in the day, you didn't hear crap about Paramount or Peacock or nothing. I even laughed, like, Peacock, the NBC channel, get the hell out of here. But over time, they started competing with each other, and now you got all these great shows on TV. You know,
I remember.
You can't keep up.
I think I remember about 15, 16 years ago, I actually, Pirate's non-technical ass, signed on for Netflix back in those days.
Where you got the DVD in the mail.
No, I signed on when
streaming,
when they first went streaming.
Okay, because remember, they first started with shipping DVDs to your house mail. You just went online. They sent you two discs at a time. If you wanted to pay more, you could.
Well, I want to say we did that a couple times.
Yeah, but it was easy.
It was right on the brink of when that was going from that to streaming.
When I signed up to Netflix, I remember that was the offer. I didn't get it at first. Do you want to stream? And I thought, no, that's stupid.
And then I found out that you could stream, and I actually finally had bought a TV that you could stream. And I remember first paying for it. And then I remember being so let down because I was like, all these movies are movies I've seen already.
Yeah.
Because at that time, Netflix wasn't making movies.
Right. They were just redistributing. They were renting, basically. Yeah.
And I was so pissed off. I was like, well, I guess I could watch this movie over, or I could watch, you know.
But see, you're not a repeat watcher like me.
Well, no. I mean, there are some. I'll watch Roadhouse over and over again. I watch the Tombstone many times over, mm-hmm. and every now and then I watch like a Days of Thunder or Top Gun.
How about when I surprise you with Big Trouble in Little China?
I watched Big Trouble in Little China. I mean,
actually watched a Ching Wong movie.
But there's a lot of movies like, you know, I'm not going to watch the Annie movie over and over.
Nah.
I'm not going to watch, you know, Fred Flintstone over and over.
I don't think I've seen the Annie movie since the 80s. Yeah, that's when it came out.
I mean, you're not going to watch certain movies over and over.
Look.
And that was a letdown in those days.
Right, but that's the thing. Like everything, there's only so much time. You're a working man. I'm a working man. We may have different lifestyles, but I am just like you. I am not sitting on my ass all night, all day watching TV.
No, who's got time for that?
I mean, in the evenings after work, sure, but on the weekends and stuff, man, I barely turn on.
Well, nowadays, there's an overwhelmingly choice.
That's what's overwhelming.
Program content.
Because I have 80 shows easily on my list of, oh, you got to watch this. And it's like, I can't, and I won't keep up because the thing that slows me down is I'm a repeat watcher.
You are a repeater.
And I love what I love. And I look at it this way. I paid for those Blu-rays or through Apple. I own them. Yes. You should watch them.
You know what I think you should do?
What's that?
I think you should do like Union. You should have a pick movie of the week, and you should watch it like on, you know how on Thursday we pick a place to go?
Yeah.
And it's a different pick each week? I think you should do a pick movie of the week.
It almost sounds like we're going to turn Union into book club about its movies.
Yeah, that's what should happen.
You know that ain't going to work because even you at your busy schedule, hey, did you watch Tombstone? Nah, man, I didn't get around to it.
Yeah, well.
It's a great idea.
It's
a great idea that won't have any execution.
Well, I think you should try it at least for yourself instead of watching the same movies over and over again. But that was the thing that would let me down is I would turn the Netflix on and I would say, okay, I'm only paying like $7.99 a month for this.
Yeah, it used to be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it was very cheap, guys. And here I was looking at some of these movies, and occasionally we would find something, oh, I never saw that, or, hey, I can't remember what it was. Let me, oh, that's my favorite or what have you. And I'd watch it. But then I started noticing over the years, little by little, they were adding things.
Yeah. Well, they started producing their own content, and that's when the competition really got fierce, because now all these streamings are producing their own stuff.
And even
and I think it's a golden age of TV. That's why movies kind of suck right now. I'll always love movies. I still love going to the theater, the popcorn. You can get beer now.
Sure.
However, you got to admit, it's a lot cheaper. It's a lot more convenient being right here at the house. But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's show. You know, Val Kilmer, Hollywood, all that stuff. But we are all over the road with Pyre and Chewbacca. Please send us an email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. Some of these links we talked about today, I will put in the show notes for you. And we are at akebonoradio.com as well for this show. So, yeah, show 40, man. Any final words before we go? Oh, yeah, by the way, the song of the week, I'll just continue with the Jurassic Park since we open with it. We'll close with it. But you got anything parting words, Pirate?
Well, one way to live y'all's life, it's the way I like my eggs, y'all. Sunny side up.